Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
Excited when their favorite song person come through, their favorite artist come through. How many of you know we need to get excited about the Word of God? You know why? Because the Word delivers. The Word heals. There's a delivering word. A balm of Gilead healing word. Well, there's some folk in here that are not going to leave out the same. Come on, somebody. I see the spirit of infirmity being dealt with. I see the spirit of, oh no, and guess what? Check this out. And you don't have to have no hands laid on you to get it either. I'm telling you, signs, wonders, and miracles are in this room. You just need to suck them in and get them. Come on, somebody. You need to pull it into you. In Jesus' name. I'm reading from Acts. Yep, the book of Acts. The sixth chapter. And I'm going to read through the 16th verse from the Amplified Version. And it says, "And as Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in foreign unknown tongues, languages, and prophesied. There were about 12 of them in all. And they went into the synagogues and for 3 months spoke boldly, persuading and arguing and pleading about the kingdom of God. But when some became more and more stubborn, hardened and unbelieving, discrediting and reviling and speaking evil of the way of the Lord before the congregation, he separated himself from them, taking the disciples with him, and went on holding daily discussions in the lecture room of Tyrannus from about 10 o'clock till 3. This continued for 2 years, so that all the inhabitants of the province of Asia, the Jews as well as Greeks, heard the word of the Lord concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs and towels and aprons which touched his skin were carried away and put upon the sick. And their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them." Come on, repeat with me, say, "And the evil spirits came out of them." "Then some of the traveling Jewish exorcists, men who adjured evil spirits, also undertook to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I solemnly implore and charge you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' 7 sons of a certain Jewish chief priest named Sceva were doing this. But one evil spirit retorted, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?' Then the man in whom the evil spirits dwell leaped upon them, mastering 2 of them, and was so violent against them that they dashed out of the house in fear, stripped, naked, and wounded. Father, I thank you for the words of my mouth,
yes, God,
and the meditation of every heart in here, that it will be acceptable in your sight. God, let your manifested word walk through this sanctuary today. Because today it is not by power, it is not by might, but it's by the Spirit of the Most High God. I just want to talk about a few things. And I have so many favorite passages of scripture in the Bible, but how many of you know that this is one of my favorites? This is the passage of scripture that talks about how Paul laid hands, and after he laid hands, the Bible says they spoke in foreign unknown tongues and they prophesied. Said it was about 12 of them. How many of you know 12 is the number for government? And this happened for 3 months. They spoke boldly. This morning, as we were decreeing and declaring and praying over the airways, how many of you know the word exclaim came out?
Exclaim.
Come on, somebody. Y'all know we decree, we declare, we proclaim, but the word exclaim. Say exclaim. I believe that this is the word of the Lord, that God will have us to exclaim, because there's something that happens when you exclaim. You some folk could just proclaim, but to exclaim, it literally means it has an exclamation point or an exclamation mark. For 3 months they spoke boldly, but to exclaim means to cry out suddenly, especially in surprise. It means to catch off guard. Uh-huh. To exclaim is not practice. It's not anticipated. But when you exclaim a thing, and y'all know we're from the same form where we decree and we declare, and I decree and I declare and I prophesy. But how many of you know God says it's time to exclaim? Because when you exclaim, you let the devil know you mean business. Come on, somebody. When you exclaim, it's especially with a surprise or as if you are in anger or pain. Anybody been in pain before? Anybody need a healing? Do you need a healing? Do you need God to do something on the inside of you? And you just can't cry out to God like you used to cry out to God. There's some things going on in the spirit realm right now that we just can't. I decree, it's just getting so monotonous. I decree and I declare and I prophesy and I decree. And the devil is mimicking us and pecking at us and making mockery of us. Oh, yeah. You decree and you declare. Now, I'm not putting down decreeing and declaring and prophesying. But I'm telling you, sometimes it can look monotonous and it looks like we're just carving copies. And it looks like we're just doing something that we've seen somebody else do. But when you really start hurting, when you really start going through something, there's an exclamation mark. Listen, I'm making an exclamation point. Point well received. Why are you acting like that? Because I've been through something. Help me, somebody. And I'm acting like that not only because I've been through something, because I'm going through something right now. Put your hand on your chest and say, I'm going through something right now. See, that's where the problem comes in, when we come to church and we pretend we have it all together and we sit here and we praise God and we play our favorite song. Y'all ain't hearing me up in here. We listen, a child, look at Facebook and see the babies, or how the babies know how to act like church. They can't even speak, but they committed what they see. There's some folk that ain't got no power to speak, but they just mimicking what they see. But the devil is looking for somebody that's exclaiming. In other words, there's some power behind what you say. The kingdom of God is not just in word, it's in power. Exclamation point. Come on, somebody. Exclamation point. And we're living in a day and time where your power will be tested. It will be clear to everybody that know you whether you are praying or playing. That's why I can go to the other ends of the earth. Help me, somebody. Because my testimony go everywhere. Everywhere I go, there's a woman, come on somebody, who look like me or resemble me, that can relate to what I've been through. Y'all ain't gonna help me up in here. But now I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I don't have time to play. My time is precious. And I ain't just hanging out with folk that don't want to do nothing. Y'all ain't gonna go with me up in here, but to exclaim means to use strong words. Sometimes people say, you know, Kim, those some strong words. Strong words are the only words that last. Everything else gonna blow away like the chaff in the wind. Your words got to hold weight in the spirit so that every wind of doctrine won't blow it away. And I'm telling you, there's some folk that don't believe like you believe. And they're waiting to see the manifested miracles. The manifested sign. The manifest. Here in the realm of the spirit, there's some men and women saying, yes, Apostle Kim, God brought you out, but can he bring me out too? And I come to exclaim liberty, come on somebody, to the captives. He came to set the captives free. Every time Jesus came on the scene, the devil was manifested. They wasn't sitting up looking what they had on, what their makeup looked like, what kind of clothes they had on.
Come on, hold it up.
Because the kingdom of God is not just in words. It's in power. What is that? That's power with an exclamation mark. Point, an exclamation mark. Power.
Yes, my Lord.
Strong words mixed with emotion. Why you act like that? Why can't you just stand behind the pulpit like a regular person? Why are you moving around like that? Why are you stomping your feet? Help me somebody. Why are you bending over? Come on somebody. Why are you rocking? Y'all ain't gonna hear me. Why are you doing whatever you're doing? Because there's something on the inside of me that wants somebody else to be free too. To exclaim means to speak vehemently.
My Lord.
You know that in an everyday word. In the streets, vehemently. When I hear the word vehemently, I think about the raging storm and the storm that comes vehemently to take you out.
Come on.
Ain't nobody on the street saying, man, that's some vehement dope. Brother, you behemoth. No, but it means vehemently that you are sharp and passionate when you're proclaiming with power. It's a punctuation mark that's used to interject emphasis or high content. Paul was spending his time trying to persuade the unpersuadable. He was arguing with people who already had their minds made up. He was pleading with people who just did not have a clue and could not care less. But I want to know, is there anybody in here, come on somebody, that agree about the power of the kingdom? It don't even take the whole room. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. Wherever 2 or 3 of us are in the midst, sometimes you're waiting on a crowd. And all we need is a glory cloud. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you're waiting on God, and God waiting on you. God said, open your mouth out of your belly. Yeah, says that. Paul separated himself. After he separated himself, he says, God did unusual and extraordinary miracles, not just miracles, unusual miracles, extraordinary miracles. You know why a lot of folk ain't getting no unusual miracles and no extraordinary miracles?
Talk about it.
Because you ain't learned how to separate yourself. Come on, somebody. You got to learn. Come on, somebody. How to shake the dust from your feet. And if you really, come on, somebody, an ex-goon.
Come on.
You're telling them to let the door hit them. Come on, somebody. With good Lord spirit. Come on, somebody. What is it? It's so many cussing church people. As soon as you say something in church, everybody, y'all don't know. I'm an apostle. I know what people do in church. So don't tell me, where did that music come from? Where did I come from? Where did the other music come from? Come on, somebody. Some of the people, not all of them, who not who they say they are. Y'all ain't gonna help me. But we dance and we shout. Y'all gonna go with me. You know what I'm talking about. Because a lot of folk music ain't living right. Come on, somebody. I've been delivered from the beat.
Yes.
And when you've been delivered from the beat, you can let God use you. Come on, somebody. I've been delivered. And now, and so Paul said that there were, it was obvious, and there was a school of Tyrannus. They had a school where people are being taught about the things of the Holy Spirit, where people are being taught the difference in the apostolic and the things of the kingdom and just regular having church. Y'all, what do you mean? What are you saying? God knows I just love church, period. But I don't like the church that when I get cancer, they tell me I gotta die. I don't like the church that when I get sick, you start making my funeral arrangements. I don't like the daisical people. I don't like to hang around folk. Come on, somebody. That don't like to pray for real. Come on, somebody. That don't want to get up in the wee hours of the morning. And come on, somebody. Command in the morning and pull some stuff down for real. I used to be a junkie, and now I'm addicted to miracles. I'm addicted to signs. I'm addicted to wonders. I'm used to it. We got so churched that we get used to people dying.
Come on,
we give the diagnosis more power than deliverance.
Talk about it, Apostle.
But when you live a hard life, come on, I want to talk to somebody who lived a hard life. That's why I can go preach anywhere. Because people everywhere have lived a hard life. And ain't nobody mad but the devil. Because I see the young people saying, come on, somebody. I see the young people saying, yeah. See, I'm pulling you in right now. Come on, somebody. Because in the name of Jesus, you'll never be the same. Now, this is a powerful passage of scripture. It talks about the seven sons of Sceva. Some Jewish brothers who were traveling exorcists. But notice they didn't call the apostles exorcists. Help me somebody. Notice they don't say that we do exorcisms. The Bible says whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And God has given us power. Y'all like that power? You said so. Power with an exclamation mark. Over all the power of the enemy. That means that Jesus had so much swag.
Talk about it.
Jesus was so sharp. He didn't never get excited about nothing. He walked in it. And Jesus was doing his father, and they kept saying, you know, the king gonna kill you, you know. He said he gonna get you. Jesus looked at him, I can imagine he laid back with only the swag that Jesus could have.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, I cast out devils. Come on, somebody. Devils don't cast me out. Are you hearing me? You go. Devils. These signs Not you running after a sign. Not you running after a miracle. Not you running after the next move of God. Because the next move of God is in you. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. But the seven sons of Sceva tried to pimp the anointing. They were perpetrating a fraud. They pretended, come on somebody, to be deliverance workers when they were fake. They were flogging. Come on somebody. And they were foolish. A fool will mess with the devil and ain't got no power. See, y'all be looking at the exorcist all you want to, because you see what the exorcist did to that priest? That's what the devil gonna do to you. Help me somebody. If you don't start exclaiming it, declaring and declaring that greater is he that's in me than him that's in the world. The Bible said that they were so slow until they called the devil out in the name of the Jesus that Paul preached. How many folk trying to cast out devils and not preaching the word? Come on, somebody. See, the preached word is not just what you say out your mouth. To proclaim, come on, somebody, and exclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the preached word lives through you. It's in him that you live and move and have your very... Oh, I know I'm preaching up here. I'm talking about... You think you got to have it. Everybody trying to get a title. Everybody want to be the apostle or the prophet, the evangelist. Well, let me warn you with that title. With that apostle title come apostle demons. With that prophet title come prophet demons. And don't end up under the curse of Sceva. Dealing with something that you ain't got the power to deal with. Come on, somebody. I remember, I'm not telling you nothing I don't walk by. I had just got elected in the city council, and we flew to Canada. And you know, I've been going to preaching churches locally and stuff, and somebody flew me in, and I went on the word of another person. And let me tell you something, when I walked in there, the room was packed with people from Africa, and they were rocking back. I was like, oh no. Y'all get another preacher for the night. Y'all ain't tell me what like this. I'm coming up tomorrow, but I'll be back in 24 hours. Help me somebody. Because the girl with me worked for the government, and she wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. She said, blah, 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 blah. I said, because that's what you're going to have to do to make it out of here. You ain't gonna be able to get no money appropriated, baby. Ain't nothing gonna help you if you ain't got the power of God on the inside. Matter of fact, you ain't ready, I ain't ready, but we gonna get ready. Can y'all switch these speakers? I'm telling y'all something, there's a different kind of spirit that you deal with in countries outside of America. We have become so comfortable. We tiptoe through the tulips, you know what I'm saying? And if the preacher don't preach a word to tickle our fancy, we'll sit there and roll our eyes at them. Come on, somebody. There is no respect. I'm not talking about control and manipulation. I'm talking about respect for the real anointing. Come on, he separated himself from them. And when he separated himself, he started doing unusual and extraordinary miracles. And they said that he was so anointed that they took handkerchiefs and aprons and towels, and when it touched his skin, the diseases left. Y'all worried about a pandemic. When you come back tonight, go buy a bunch of washcloths, and I'm going to pray over them. Come on, somebody. I believe God today. How many of you believe God with me? Come on, you waiting on somebody to lay hands on you. Help me, somebody. I just wish I can get a touch from the man of God. What if God touched you? You ever been praying in your house and fell out of the power by yourself? Come on, there's coming a time that you might to learn how to pester to God for yourself. You got to have a certain preacher, come on somebody, to feel God. The fire don't fall by me. God's not no respect to a person. I'm looking for some real signs and wonders. Come on somebody. Somebody just come to the church noonday. Ain't nobody in the pulpit. They fall down. Bam, the cancer fall out. I'm looking for real signs and wonders and miracles. In Africa, voodoo dolls fly into the worship services. Oh, y'all mighty quiet right there. Don't you? If you think I'm crazy and I lost my mind, you better check. Come on, exclamation point, bam. That's an exclamation point. But what do you mean? I say they fly in there. I was bringing a group of young children, teenagers, young people, out of the occult in my city. I didn't know anything about these religions and these idols that they were worshiping. And I'm trying to do marriage counseling. And the young lady pulled me and said, can I pull you to the side for a minute? And I'm like, but we counseling. She said, but I need to tell you something by yourself. She said, this week, I'm supposed to go to South Carolina to be buried in a casket with dead body parts. Yay, my shame rules over my head. Iamis is a god that I've dedicated myself. Shango, Oshun, Ogun, Obatala. Somebody know what I'm talking about. That's in here. Help me, somebody. The demons that have me bound. That girl said, before you pray for me, you got to let me know you got some power to deal with the demons that I'm dealing with. Because I dedicated my life. Now, you're going to give me a regular sermon. Come on, somebody. A $5 offering, lay hand and let the Lord bless you. That girl said, I'm out of here. But before I go messing with my demons that I let into my body, you got to let me know that you got some power. Not only did they get delivered, but they taught me about the dark side. I didn't have to go to other countries. The other country came to me. Come on, somebody. And sometimes we're so comfortable. And after, did you think it was easy? Because their Baba, or their Baba Lua, was their father, was mad because, who does this chick think she is from Sherwood that she gonna mess with my demons? And so they called me one day and they said, Baba, come to your house. And I'm thinking, hey, y'all know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, Baba, man, I come up in here. I got some for Baba, Lala, all of them. I'm thinking in the natural, baby. I'm saying, hey, I bet you may not come up in this house. I don't wait no Baba. They say, no, Pastor. No. He flying. I said, huh? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. I said, baby, what you mean? I said, she said, go in the room where your twins at. They're going to try to kill your twins. I said, can you please explain flying in the spirit? Come to your house. And you know, my mind couldn't grip it. But I went in that room, and when I saw my baby stop breathing at the same time, I bind Baba, come on somebody. I bind Baba Daddy and Baba Mama. I bind all of Baba Pikachu. Come on somebody. Listen, I start binding the devil. Woo-hoo, my baby start breathing again. And I understood that I was in a warfare. The anointing draws warfare. And y'all know the title of my message, and I don't want to be up here too long, but I'm qualified to come up in here today. Okay? The title of my message is The Curse of Being Unopposed. The curse of being unopposed. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? You never dealt with me. When I came to get your children, you let me have them. When I took your business, you laid down and cried and you let me have it. I don't know you because you've given me rest. I only know believers who make me uncomfortable. You never got my attention. We never thought that much of you. Because you just did 3 songs and a few scriptures. You fell out on the floor and got up the same way and went home. And I'm sorry, but with all the religion you got, I don't know you.
What? What? My Lord.
The disease is left and the evil spirits came out. They attempted to cast out devils in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. And the demon-possessed man leaped on them, mastering 2 of them. The demon was so violent that the false demon busters were stripped naked and wounded. See, true deliverance ministry is nothing to play with. You better get you some training. And notice that the apostles didn't travel by themselves. Can I get real and can we really talk? Listen, we travel in groups. You think you so bad you can go. I remember one guy in my ministry. He tried to go up into this lady. She was a foreign lady. He didn't even tell us. He was a minister in the church. He went up in this lady's house and she called him and said, "I need deliverance." And y'all, can I just tell y'all how it happened for real? Or do I have to translate it and sugarcoat it up?
No.
Cover your ears if it bothers. You know what I'm saying?
No,
it ain't that
ahead.
Deep.
Go ahead.
It's life. He went up in that woman's house and he said, "Come out!" And she licked him 1 time and it was over.
My God, baby. My God.
She said, "No, you come out."
What you say?
She licked him 1 time and the Lord just left.
My God.
And I don't have to tell you no more what happened after that. It was a trap. A booby trap. Sometimes you have to cross lines to break boundaries of religion. That's the only way people get free. Listen, and so in true deliverance ministry ain't nothing to play with. That stripped naked, y'all ready for this? They were uncovered.
Right.
Church hoppers. They committed to nowhere. Come on, somebody. You know, all this in the church. You talking about what's in the church? What's out that door is what you need to worry about. What's outside that door can't be. No, listen, let me tell you something. I've been saved over 30 years, and there ain't nothing ever going to make me go back. Come on, somebody. I don't believe in backsliding. People that go back, you believe in backsliding. You got to get to the point where you don't believe in backsliding. I know that I can't go back because when an unclean spirit leaves out of a person, it goes out seeking. Come on, somebody, dry places, swept clean and garnished. Now, wait a minute now. Swept clean, set in order. Everything's so perfect. Ain't going through nothing. Come on, somebody. Christians can't have demons. Okay. A Christian will have what a Christian would do.
Right.
And I ain't got to go down the list. But it can't cross the bloodline. Whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent will bite him. Listen, the devil can't cross the bloodline. You do. If you break the hedge, a serpent. Y'all lying to say that long, but I got enough sense. Come on, somebody. Not to be up in no places that are familiar with my own demons. You ain't never saved enough. Come on, somebody. To go back up in your familiar territory with the wrong mindset. Come on, somebody. Some folks have done some things they never thought they would. Listen, I can't Greek and Hebrew to you. Y'all in New York. There are territorial spirits. Territorial warfare. And I know just as sure as Wall Street is here, the devil always trying to take your money. He always trying to come up against what the atmosphere is set to do. But how many of you know we're going to shift the atmosphere in here tonight? There's a shifting that's going on. Yes, it is. And so, check this out. They were stripped naked. They didn't have no covering. They were wounded. Bitter. Church hurt. You don't know what that church did to me. But what did that man did to you? You going back to him? That man who been beating you for 20 years. Come on, somebody. You still there.
Apostle, preach the truth.
Yes, the truth is.
This is how you deal with schema. The schema deal with the real. Come on, somebody. Schema deals where the rubber hits the road. Them demons will say, Jesus I know. Paul I know. You've been in the church 40 years and I don't even know you. The sons of Sceva, they came in a name they did not know. The Jesus Paul preached. Help me, Lord. Don't you know that I don't care how far you are in God, the devil gonna continue to try you? I go this morning praying. I'm on Facebook with all my followers. Celebrating all these years of Command in the Morning. This is the first day we've come to New York to Command in the Morning. And next thing I know, police officers everywhere outside my door because I'm praying. Wow. Come on, somebody. Wow. I couldn't panic. Help me, somebody. And they said, we're not going to leave until she come out that room. So I went in the bathroom. Come on, somebody. And I started praying. And I stayed in there a long time. By the time I left out that bathroom, the police was gone. Come on, somebody. Yeah, you clap your hands. But this ain't nothing to play with. I understood that there was another level of warfare going on. You say you coming to exclaim a thing in New York, but the devil said, I'm going to show you something. If you ain't got no power, I'm going to put you in jail. Help me, somebody. You better know how to press. When you need power, and I wasn't trying to pick it or fight with the police. Come on, somebody. A cop, y'all will help me out. Some people didn't even know I went there. Can I tell you something? Check this out. I prayed, y'all ain't gonna get this, until I grew up.
Wow. Yeah.
Woo! Whoops, I don't know, but it ain't in me no more. Because I said, whatever I'm dealing with outside that door, I got to make sure everything in me is right and that the devil has no power in me. When I look at the devil, I want to be saying, Satan, you don't have no power in me. Get to stepping. You know me.
My Lord.
You know what time it is. You know the deal. Ain't nothing changed. Help me, somebody. Nothing happened but time. Come on, somebody. I qualify to preach this message. Cancel the eyelashes. Cancel the hairdo. Come on, son. I know you thought you were going to get me because you saw me shopping on there. Oh, she's shopping. We're going to get her now. But the devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. We are here today for such a time as this. And everything that the devil has meant for evil, God is turning around. Come on, I don't care what your situation is. I say God is turning it around. There is a turning it around anointing in this place. You ain't got to leave here the same.
Yes.
God want to deal with the things that you don't publicly pray for.
Come on.
The things that you don't call the pastor and ask him or her to pray for. Come on, somebody. God want to deal with those deep hidden secrets. This evening, when we come back in here, let's lay it all down. Y'all know how to jack. I'm sorry, y'all. Pray for me. But I used to hang out with a lot of jack men. Yeah. in the world. My friends, they just happen to be jack men. I know how they just come out of nowhere. And they say, lay it all down. Hey, lay it all down. Put the head up and lay it all down. Ain't no sense in you going back and forth. They done caught you off guard. You fight, they're going to take you out. Just lay it all down. Come on, somebody. But don't let the enemy catch you off guard. I bind every spiritual jackman. God said it's time for the church to be combat ready.
Yes.
Come on, devil, make my day. Come on, somebody. You are not surprising me. I got a surprise for you.
Yes.
Glory be to God.
Yes.
Take the time of
God.
Wow.
I got a revelation.
Talk about
it. We in another level of warfare.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
The demons did not know them because there's no secondhand anointing. You can't cast out demons in the name of what somebody else is preaching. If you can't preach it, you don't qualify to deal with it. Come on, somebody. It no sense in you doing private counseling sessions. Come on, somebody. Because you ain't preaching it. Because if you preach it, you're scared the tide gonna go down and you're gonna lose members. But if you mess with one of them demons, you're gonna lose more than members. If you don't preach it.
Right.
Satan, we call you out. In the name of the Jesus that Kim Daniels preaching ain't gonna work.
That's right.
You have to know it for yourself. Come on, somebody. Listen, my children grew up. I can remember casting demons out in my living room. And I had twins. I had two baby bears in the living room. Now we're gonna get out of here. And I remember I was casting this big old demon. I mean, this guy was about 360 pounds, about 6'8". He go, I said, what's your name? He said, Conqueror. I said, who you come to conquer? Everybody. My daughter ran back in the room and said, I'm scared of him. My daughter was 4 years old. She ran and I said, baby, it's all right. Go on in the room. Mama be finishing. Midnight. Bang. He just came to my house. I was on the midnight. And I told him, I said, Rabbi, we praying right now. He said he had emergency. My husband said he'd come in. And he said, just wait there a minute. And he got up and went and ran in one of my rooms. We looking like, what's going on? God said, you call him out here. And you tell him to let you pray for him and cast them demons out or get out of your house. He was so tall that when he let me pray for him, he got on his knees with his hands up. I still had to reach. Big man. And when I laid my hands on him, he fell down on the ground and started crawling around like a snake. All through. And my babies was little. And Mike was cutting up. I know I got a son named Mike, right? He prayed for the New York Giants. He had just started smoking reefer, wet coming home, hanging over to his friend's house. And I'm looking at this big old man now. Can I be honest with y'all? Now, I was just new into this deliverance thing. And I was thinking, now, if I call this demon out, talking to my husband, giving sign language, if the demons don't respond, you hit him high and I'm going to hit him low. Because he ain't going to hurt my babies. We this thing is new to us now. Now, if this demon don't respond, you hit him high and I'm going to hit him low. And I went around the corner and I called Mike. I said, Mike, come home. I need you to, because I want somebody to hold the babies while we dealt with this demon. I said, Mike, come on. What you want, mama? Leave me alone. I said, you better get here, boy. I ain't playing with you. And, you know, he had stopped praying in tongues. Mike had stopped praying in tongues. He came in there. Mama, what's wrong with mister? I ain't gonna say that. He crawling around like hands flapping, spitting up like a serpent. Hands flapping, just call. Mike High came straight down. Boom, he wasn't even high no more. He just got straight. I said, get the babies. He went around. He had stopped praying in tongues. I said, get the babies. He was holding the twins, and each had their little cute little babies. And I heard something. We were working with this demon, and I heard something around the corner. I said, what is that? I looked around at Mike and I said, I ain't never heard nobody pray in tongues so fast in my life. I said, Mike, what you doing? Mama, just get deep in the tongues. Y'all know if it's a lie, my children gonna telling mama ain't telling the truth.
Come on.
But the truth will make you free. Listen. There's no secondhand anointing. You're not going to get this power through religious services. Hallelujah. You know what? They hadn't been through nothing. They're just going around living a good life. How many people trying to get folk delivered with no word in them? The devil didn't recognize them. You got to have the word of God on the inside of you. You got to be able to say, greater is he that's in me than him that's in the world. Too many church folk are comfortable and don't want to go through nothing. You crying because you're going through? Listen, opposition is an opportunity.
Yes.
When you go through, you grow through.
Yes.
You know, say unopposed. You know, I'm in the political arena. And you know, it's a terrible thing in the political arena when you get a seat and you've never been opposed. Nobody else got on the ballot, you just got a free seat. Or somebody dropped off, you got appointed, but ain't nobody never vote for you. How many of you know that if you go unopposed, you ain't got no name recognition? And there must be opposition for you to have name recognition in the spirit. You must have spiritual name recognition. You got to have some notches in your belt when it comes to dealing with warfare. That's what David said when he came up to Goliath. He said, "Now I dealt with the bear and I dealt with the tiger and giant. I'm gonna deal with you." David may not have had a name with Goliath, but ain't that the boy? Come on, somebody. That dealt with them tigers and the lions and them bears. It's time to pray. The devil is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Martyria is the Greek word, related to the English word martyr. And a martyr is a person who suffers persecution even unto death for submitting to any person, place, or thing that for coming up against that which will come up against the gospel. It's not secondhand. I heard it. I saw it. I experienced it myself. He said, oh, she got free. He set her free. But when did you get free? Come on, somebody. The Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Deliverance tastes good. When you really get set free, there's enough. And that's what we're going to do this evening. And the church at large has gotten so comfortable bringing their coffee cups to the sanctuary, living lives with no opposition. That word opposition, or to oppose, means conflict, combat, battle. To be come against, resistance, to stand in the way of, hostility, adversity, confrontation, that which contradicts or comes up against. Everybody just wants status quo. The kingdom of God suffers violence, becomes the violent, and take by force. You suffer, you become, and you take. When you suffer, you become something, and you take what's yours. Hallelujah. Jesus, here's the demon. Jesus fought me. Paul fought me. Why I don't know you?
Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
There's a curse in being unopposed.
My God.
Come on, somebody. God want to put some notches on your belt. It's time to cast the devil out. You ain't just come to church to cast him out. It's time to cast him out. And you got to have spiritual name recognition. Y'all, this is my last thing I'm saying to you. It's all about the name. Proverbs 22:1 say, a good name is more desirable than great riches. Isaiah 43:1, God says, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Exclamation point. Jeremiah 1:5, God said, before I formed you in your mama's womb, I knew you. John 14:15 said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own knows me. Exodus 33:17, God told Moses, you have found favor in my sight and I know you by name. But go to Matthew. And I'm going to read the scripture. We're going to get up out of here. Go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I got to stop right here.
Very good.
Y'all do know if you keep reading about the seven sons of Sceva, it say that the word went out and the terror of the Lord came upon the people, and the people in the church stopped doing witchcraft. The believers, come on, they made their full confession and full commitment. They stopped practicing curious magical arts, and they burned all their witchcraft books that were very expensive. This is my final scripture. Matthew 17, enter through the narrow gate. I'm reading Amplified. For wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straightened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you dressed as sheep, but inside they are devouring wolves. You will fully recognize them by their fruits. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every healthy, sound tree bears good fruit, yeah, worthy of admiration. But the sickly, decaying, worthless tree bears bad, worthless fruit. A good, healthy tree cannot bear bad, worthless fruit, nor can a bad, diseased tree bear excellent fruit worthy of admiration. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them, openly and publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregard my commands. The King James Version says, I never knew you.
Teach this word, apostle.
The demons don't know you, because God don't know you. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just telling you what the word says. Get up before me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Hallelujah.
Lord.
Just stand to your feet and put your hands in and say, Lord, that you would know me. Come on, say it one more time. Lord, that you would know me. Hey, sound like I'm just saying a little something, something. Those words are precious. You ain't going to hear a lot of folk talking like this in the day we live in. They'll look at you in your clothes that you have on, the way you carry yourself, your religious antics. Come on, somebody. The way you flow with the Holy Ghost. How many of you know Lucifer flow? How many of you know the devil can sing? Y'all ain't hear me. He was the anointed cherubim. Don't get it twisted. We're living in a day and time where you got to have the greater word on the inside of you, because only God can give you a discernment in the day of the false prophet, in the age of the counterfeit. The seven sons of Sceva boldly went before demons. That's the spirit of this age. Sceva devils. Folk ain't scared to pick this mic up.
Right.
People too comfortable in this pulpit. Everybody putting titles on their name and not afraid. They used to be the fear of God in the church. Prophetess Francina told me, and I'm telling you, I think I'm still glad that I came up when I came up. God knew just what. Because she said when she got pregnant in church, she had to go up before the church and confess it. But we've come so far from that. Help me, somebody. We need to move back toward, come on, surrender. We need to move back toward submission. We need to move back toward covenant and commitment and covering. My children ain't perfect. My children, just like your children. Matter of fact, the devil comes at them harder. But I tell you what, the Bible says, hey, when you raise them up in the way that they should go, they will not depart. I remember that them 18-month-old babies used to stand up with pamphlets on and stretch their hand toward the worst demon, and they would be doing that. I don't know if they were mimicking. They really got filled with the Holy Ghost. I never prayed for them. They've been praying in tongues ever since I knew them. They were standing with a pamper on, both of them. At the beginning of the pandemic, they ran away from home. I called my friends. I said, the twins left. They weren't calling me or nothing. They were like, oh, my. We ain't gonna stay in no house. If our friends can't come, we leaving. I had a dream, and the twins walked in my door with a girl and a dog. And God is my witness. Just when I say these boys, it's been months they don't call me. They was like busting through the door, Mama. You like your girlfriend is a witch. Get in the middle of the floor. Come on, Elijah. No, she was praying on goon and then on shoon and up. We heard her and they said, oh no, we like, let's get out of here. Mama, she's trying to feed me. She done fed my brother. Come on, Mama. So I don't care what the devil is trying to do to your children. You keep raising them up in the way that they should go. They're gonna be young. They're gonna have fun. You can't make them feel like you feel while you 90 and they 15. But our babies got more power in their fingernails than all the hard hordes of hell. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all. I'm coming back tonight. We're going to do a confession. Come on, everybody. Come on, we all need to rededicate. Come on, somebody. Remotivate it. Reactivate. What does re mean? Do it again! You ain't got to be on dope to be crazy. Y'all didn't ever want me to say that. I say you ain't got to be on dope to be crazy. Want to get down on your very inner being. And I'm going to ask the prophetess to get a sack of cloths. And I'm going to pray over them cloths. And you take them and you put them under the mattress. You put them in the pillowcase. Let me tell you something. If you're ready for some crazy miracles, come on somebody. But let me tell you something. That prayer cloth ain't going to work if you don't work it. Now I know the anointing is transferable, but repeat after me, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I commit and recommit my life unto you. I dedicate my family unto you. Devil, you are a liar. Spirit of schemer. Spirit of schemer. Get out of my generations. As for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Come on, somebody put your hands together and tell God.
From the law offices of Christine A. Michelle Studio, this is Praise 107.9.
W300CU Jacksonville. WKSL HD3 Neptune Beach.
The ultimate gospel experience.
Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
Old Testament speaking, when you really do your study, the people of God, their tithe looked like about 25%. Come on, you want to say to the truth of the text. Come on, their tithe looked like about 25%. And they wasn't even able to glean the corners of their field because God said, no, leave that for the poor. If they were harvesting their wheat and a bale of wheat fell off, God said, don't pick that up, leave that for the poor. So that was a requirement according to the law. And so it wasn't free will. It was a requirement. But here, this is why I tithe not because of the Levitical order, not because it was law, not because it was legislated by God, but because of the principle of the tithe. Let me tell you something real good, because there's another myth. Tithing is a biblical concept. I said tithing is a biblical concept. The first thing people say, soon as somebody probably already on YouTube, they probably already deleted you, sorry. They probably already kicked you off Facebook, I'm sorry. Every time I talk about this, or anybody you know talk about this, they always say tithing is Old Testament. That is a false preacher. He's a false pastor. That's another pimp in the pulpit trying to get your money, because tithing is Old Testament. You're right, but you're not complete. Come on here. You can be right, but you'll be incomplete, because tithing is the Old Testament principle. It's a New Testament principle. It's a biblical principle. It's one of those things in the Old Testament that go from covenant to covenant. Come on. There's a lot of things, thank you, that God expelled in the Old Covenant. There's a lot of things that God did away with under the law. But tithing was before the law. It is a principle. Somebody say principle. It's a principle of what God used. Where do you see this at, Pastor? Where do you see the principle of the tithe? We go all the way back to the garden. Let me work. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Look what it says. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. Verse 17. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. I see the principle of the tithe. That God said, you can have everything you want, but don't touch my part. You can have everything you want, but this belongs to me. Come on, we can talk about Abraham and Melchizedek. We can talk about Jacob, where Jacob vowed to God and said, I'm going to give you a tenth. I may teach on one of those. I don't know. I'm still kind of in the middle. But Abraham, the patriarchs believed in tithe. The patriarchs said, God had revealed in their spirit that they need to do this before Moses. It was before the law, before Exodus and Deuteronomy. It was before all of this. The principle of the tithe is a biblical principle. And what is the principle? What is God showing us? God is telling us that I own it all. I own everything. I'm God over everything. And I say all of this belongs to me, but don't you touch my part. It's a principle. Somebody say principle. I believe you ought to tithe your day. I believe you ought to tithe your worship. I believe you ought to tithe everything about you, everything about what you do. You ought to give God his part. I believe it's not just about money. I believe it's about every area of your life. That what you're trying to say, what God, how do you want me to use it? I know you just got me with this new car just for me. How do you want me to use it? Do I need to pick somebody up? Do I need to give somebody a ride? What do I need to do? I need to give you something because you gave me everything. That's what I believe. It could have been another misconception, but I can't put them all in there. So many people don't give, don't tithe because of the amount.
Yeah, that's it.
Because of the amount. Because they say, the church don't need my $50. What them $50 going to do? And then they don't give because of the amount. Because they're going to say, that $500, that's too much money. Y'all can't be cutting the mic off in the middle of me talking like that. Come on, y'all. Y'all cannot be doing that. Because I ain't heard Nathan Jones just then. I was like, my God, we went right back to 100% virtual just that fast. Like I had a quantum leap moment just then. Because we'll say, man, they ain't going to miss my little $20. They ain't going to miss my little $50. My little $100 ain't going to make no difference. They say, that's $1,000. You know what I can do with all that? You know what I can do with that? The amount is insignificant. It's according to how the Lord has prosper you. It's how he has prospered you. Oh, come on, somebody. The amount is insignificant. I am to do what God has required. Number two, I'm going to tell you why I'm tithing. I tithe because the Prince of Peace said so.
Oh,
That's why I'm tithing. I'm tithing not just because of the principle. The principle, come on, the tithing is Old Testament. Tithing is under the law. Tithing is a biblical principle. It transcends the testaments. It's before the law, during the law, and after the law. And then also I tithe because the Prince of Peace said, Matthew 23:23, look what he said. What sorrows await you, teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb garden. God, Jesus saying to them, you are so careful to tithe. You're so careful to give, but you're a bunch of hypocrites. You're doing all of that. But look what he said. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law, like justice and mercy and faith. What did Jesus say? You just can't give your money and be mean. Just can't give your money and be nasty. Just can't give your money and tithe. And then you think that's all sins are forgiven. No, Jesus said, no. You're not doing it. You're not, that's not the right way to do. But look what he said. You should tithe.
Oh, really?
He said, it's right there. It's Matthew 23:23, New Living Translation. He said, you should tithe. He's not saying, oh, you're doing this, you hypocrites, you shouldn't tithe. And I just believe, well, a lot of people talk about this when it comes to certain topics, hot button issues. They'll say Jesus never said anything about it. Jesus never talked about it. I think that's one of the weakest arguments, because we'll say the argument from silence, because Jesus never said nothing about it. If it was so important, New Testament church, why Jesus didn't say it? If it homosexuality was so important, why Jesus never said it? If this is, we can name all this a weed and all this other stuff. If it was so important, why Jesus, that's one of the weakest arguments. He didn't say anything about molestation either. Hello? There's a lot of things he didn't say that we know wrong. Oh, God, help me. Jesus said, you should tithe. He said, yes. He just didn't believe you either. Jesus, everybody said, yes. He said, like, for real? Yes. He said, it's on the screen. Look at it. Yes. But do not neglect the more important things. In other words, we still talking about tithing. In other words, you've been around truth and love. Jesus is saying, You are Pharisee, doctors of the law. You supposed to tithe. What about all this other stuff? I can flip it and put it in reverse. You've been around us for years. See what we're doing. See what we're trying to do. See where we're going. See the hand of the Lord on this ministry. And I still got to convince you to tithe. We still talking about this. We still circling the wagon. I still got to convince you. If you don't know me by now. I don't know why I got this Motown on me today. You will never, ever, ever know me. Ooh. If you've been around us all this time and you don't know us by now, you never going to know. Come on, y'all come back. Because I took somebody out right there. They back at the juke joint. Come on, they. That's that nubby there. That's my daddy. That's from one movie here. Boom. Mm. Boom. That's it. It took him like 6 months. He just do that. Now somebody came back to the juke joint. Come on. They ain't called the club back then. It was a juke joint. Come on, y'all come back. Hebrew writer, I got to hurry. Hebrew writer, Hebrews 6:1 said, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage of teaching. Tithing is elementary, my friend. Tithing is something that I'm going to catch as a baby Christian. And then some of us have been grown in the Lord. And we still ducking and dodging and hiding and manipulating and trying to buck the system. You know why I tithe? I tithe because it's God's property. That's why I tithe, because it belongs to God. Leviticus 27:30, it says every tithe of the land, whether seed of the land or first fruits, is the Lord's. It is holy. Verse 32 says that it is holy. The tithe belongs to God. It is holy. Come on here. I tell you, every time when you get paid, come on, when that money hits your account, you ought to do it like Rafiki did Simba. Come on. He held little Simba up and he said, come on, I wish I could be. That ain't the right movie. What is that? Anyway, but yeah, he held him up. The circle of life. That's what it was. The circle. Hell up, Rafiki, hell up, Simba. That's like, then you ought to hold your tithe because it's holy. Get it out of there. Push it out. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. It's all right. I tithe. Let me hurry up. I tithe. They falling off the wagon. They falling off the wagon. That's okay. The wagon keep on going. That's all right. Come on. I tithe because I love God. Here, I believe, is the root of the issue. It's the root of the issue. It's my heart. It's my heart, because love is action. Love. Come on. If I love someone, come on. When I spend time with someone, when I got relationship with someone, come on. It bursts something in me. It causes me to spring into action. I just can't say that I love someone. Just can't say that I'm a part of somebody's life and I don't spring into action and I don't do anything. No, my friend. Look. Can I tell you? Jesus said, if you love me, he said, then you'll keep my commandments. He said, if you say you love me and you don't give give. You don't say you love me and you don't obey me. You say you love and you don't do what the word says. You don't love me, just give me lip service. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. I can tell you what you love. Let me look at your bank account. I tell you what you love. I can tell you what has your heart. Let me look at your receipts. Let me find out what you're buying. Let me see, because wherever you spend your money at, that's where your heart is. But if you really love God, you wouldn't have no red, wouldn't be no battle, wouldn't be no wrestle about being able to get what it is that God is saying belongs to him. Matthew 6:24 said, you cannot serve two masters, for either you will hate the one or you will love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You just can't do it. If money's still bothering you, if money's still got a root in your heart, come on, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money in and of itself is not evil, but my love for it, my chase for it, my passion for it, my desire for it, it becomes evil. But God said, you can't serve me and your pocket. I give because I love the Lord. Many don't give because they haven't matured in this area. For God so loved the world. His love constituted him giving. He giving. And when I give, I got to do this. Come on, let me say it. I type because God is my source. Amen. I type because he's my source. I type because God is my power. He's my power. He's my source. That's why I type, because I understand that whatever I have, God gave it to me. Whoever I am, God made me. Come on, I got to say that to somebody, because you think it's your degrees. No, it's not your degrees, my friend. God is my source. You know what? It's not your job. Them people will love you today and fire you tomorrow. It's not your job. It's not your education. It's not what you've done. But God is my source. Come on, you can be broke. You can be on an unemployment and still be looking cute, still be looking good, still God be having his hand on you. It's not about a job. It's not about what you have attained and what you have. God is my source. God take good care of me. Oh, I got to roll, y'all. Y'all skip all those verses. James said every good and every perfect gift comes from the Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, he says, who are you to make different? Everything you have, it comes from God. Deuteronomy 8:18 said, you shall remember the Lord your God. He said, for it is he who gives you power to get well. Lord have mercy. You got to keep this in mind, because when it comes to the things of God and when it comes to what it is that God has given us, it's him that give me the strength to get up in the morning. It's him that give me the strength to be able to work on that job. It's him that give me the strength to be able to take care of them kids, be able to do whatever it is I'm doing. It is he that give me power to get wealth. I'm getting ready to roll out of here. I'm trying to help you. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help you. I'm not a performer. I'm a pastor. I got to help you in this area, because God has called us to be able to make sure that we do what we need to do to support the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, look at the book. The book says, as we look at Malachi, whose name means my messenger. And Malachi is prophesying to a group of people. He's teaching the group of people who have returned from exile. You would think when the people of God have returned from exile, you'll think that they have their act together. You would think after they've been in Babylon in captivity for 70 some years, you would think they'll have their act together. You would think after they've been through a pandemic, exile, that they have their act together. You think after they've been exiled, quarantined, you think they have their act together. You think after they've been exiled, that they'll have their act together. You would think after God kept them through all that mess, you think they'll have their act together. But no, Malachi is calling the people of God back. He said, I'm the Lord your God, I don't change. He said, that's the only reason why you haven't been consumed. Malachi 3:6 said, you, because I don't change. He said, but I'm calling you back to me. And that's what God is doing. God is calling us back to him. He's saying, come back to me and bring just don't come with your body. But I need you to bring everything. Come back to me. You know why I type? I type because I don't want to pilfer God. I don't want to pilfer. I don't want to steal. I don't want to rob. Oh, the scripture said in verse number 8, will a man rob God? Oh, and they say, how are you right? Yet you're robbing me. You say, how? And that's how we do in the body of Christ. How? How am I robbing? What am I doing? What? I'm here. What? I'm saved. What? He said, you're robbing me with your tithe and your contribution. And he, I don't want to pilfer. I don't want to take from God, because he owns it all. He owns it all. So I got to make sure I do what I need to do. I'm hurrying, y'all. I'm getting there in a second. Here, look. I type because I believe in my place of worship. I believe in my place of worship. I believe in my store. Here it is, Malachi 3:10. He said, bring, I got to hurry, bring the full tithe. Not part of it. Not what you desire. Not what you want. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. This is combat some of our ignorance. And ignorance is not a derogatory term. That just means that you don't know. You're ill-informed. And I'm ignorant about a lot of things. I don't know how I put my key in there. I push the ignition. I'm turning the gear. I don't know how that works. I'm ignorant of it. So there's a lot of things that we just simply just don't know. And here, and what God does, God tells us to bring what we have into the storehouse. So here we can be able to because the purpose of the tithe is provision for the ministry. It is, why do we tithe? Why do we give? To help those who are less fortunate. That's why we give, to help those. We're here to be a help. We're here not to pay bills. We're not First Bank of Truth and Love. But we ought to help the less fortunate. We ought to, why do we tithe? What do we get? To support spiritual leadership. So you can have individuals that's serving in the house of God and working in the house of God, the way you can be able to get a fresh, clear, relevant word from God and get fresh and clear worship. But whatever it is that we do, you know, this is why we give. That's why we support our local church. Here, you know why else we tithe? We tithe because it's a vehicle for funding the vision. You can have a big vision and it could be aborted by lack. I said, you can have a big vision. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But it can be aborted by lack. Come on, look at your own individual life. You got all your stuff. Got your screensaver. Got your stuff on your refrigerator. Come on, got all this stuff on your phone. You got to remind you of what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. But if you don't have it, how is it ever going to happen? Big vision can be aborted by lack. But I understand whatever it is I make happen for my local church, God will make it. He'll make it happen for me. And here, so here, as we talk about truth and love, I was going to go through the expenses and all this, but I'm running the street out of time. I only got about a couple of more minutes, so I got to bring this in. I've already talked to all of my 33 strong. They understand all about this. But let me just skip past the expenses and all. I was going to show you how it breaks down. You just lash it on there for them real quick. I'm going to show you how things break down and why we type, why we give, where this go, where that go, how this and all that. Come on, that's just for the nosy folks. Keep on going because we got the road. And so what we're doing as it relates to TIL, you see your money in action. You see your money in operation, where we do campus outreach, where we have Callaway Cove, Matthew 25, where we feeding people. We're all over the place doing what we need to do, in reach, which is benign.